Welcome to the Menifee United Church of Christ podcast. Menifee UCC is a lively, loving, open, and affirming church. A church that follows Jesus' great commandments, love God, love others, love yourself. A church that welcomes everyone. A church that speaks truth to power. And a church that works for justice more than just us. Today's sermon was recorded on December 30th, 2018. Divine and Human Favor by Reverend Sarah Gomez Lorraine.
Psalm 148. This psalm in particular has, I was reading a commentary that talks about, is anyone familiar with that child book, Goodnight Moon?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah. Right? So this is the psalm essentially of Goodnight Moon, where it will go through everything. If you can, keep count how many times it says praise. Dwayne, please.
Pressure's killing me. First reading, Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling His command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people, praise for all His faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to Him. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Dwayne. I invite you to continue with the readings as we read from Luke chapter 2. Verses 41 through 52. Now every year, His parents, this being Jesus, went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But His parents did not know it. Assuming that He was with a group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for Him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for Him. After 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. When His parents saw Him, they were astonished. And His mother said to Him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what He said to them. Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom in years and in divine and human favor. Blessed be the words of God. Amen. Amen. What stands out to you?
In today's in trouble.
Right? He got in trouble. Jesus. Yeah.
Very beyond his years, just a young age. Understanding.
And yet, right, I love this idea of like human and divine favor. It's so human. How many of you as parents have had a young one that just wanders off thinking that they understand the world and off they go, right? What is it like for you with this as a parent to have that anxiety of, oh my gosh, where's my child?
It's bad.
Right? Yes, Marcia.
Well, I kind of have a question because when he says, did you not know I was in my father's house? Mm-hmm. Okay. Just because I come to church, if I disappeared for a while, I mean, my mom would think, oh, I'm in my father's house. So should they have known that? Because was he like ultra religious at that time?
Mm.
Or what?
We're going to get into that today.
Why does he say, did you not know I was in my father's house?
He's the son of God. So basically,
they should have known.
He was in it. Well, maybe they didn't realize at the time. But to him,
right.
It's like, well, come on, where else would you think I would be?
Yeah.
The old meaning that I always knew was I should be about my father's business, which meant he should be in the temple preaching and learning. And he couldn't understand why his parents didn't take that for granted.
Right, that's the King James Version that says, I'll be about my father's business.
Yes, I like that.
Yes. So there's all that. Interesting questions. I love this dialogue. Any other thoughts? Should they have known? Should they not have known? Did Jesus know?
Well, he was being obedient to the Father and his parents because he was doing what God wanted him to do. But then when his parents came, he left with them and was being obedient to them.
Ooh, how many of us have been there before? We're trying to be obedient to our parents, and yet we feel a calling to God to be more authentic or to go into a different path, and all of a sudden our parents are going, where are you? Right? And he's saying, I am about my father's business. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Beautiful insight. And again, I always ask because I love when we engage with the scriptures. As a pastor, my hope and my intention is to talk with you, not at you. I want you to bring yourselves to this. So this week, it was particularly, it's the Christmas season. I love holiday movies and whatnot. And I thought, my goodness, this is the New Testament version of Home Alone. Right? Can you imagine Mary in this caravan just going around being with family? They're doing their roll call like they did in the movie. And all of a sudden she realizes that her son's not there. Jesus! Right? So Kevin, and they come back looking for, and what is Kevin doing? Right? Kevin's at home.
Protecting the house.
Protecting the house, exactly. And even when they come home, they say, there's milk in the fridge? You bought bread? And he was like, of course. And there's starch. And I thought, my goodness, this isn't just the New Testament version of Home Alone. So, but there's a couple of issues or topics that were brought up in this. How many accounts do we have in the scriptures of Jesus as a child? As like this teenager?
Very few.
One. This is it. Right, so there's these accounts of Jesus as this babe being born. And then Jesus is 30, starting his mission. This is the only account we have of him in between those times. So, what's going on here, do you think?
Well, being a human child and getting into trouble and doing things that normal kids do, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think this is a beautiful example of that divine and human. Right? So, I don't know about you, but I was raised kind of with this understanding that Jesus was born, Jesus knew everything, Jesus then, but I find in that construct, was anybody else raised with this? Like, he was just a child born with all the knowledge, all the wisdom, everything. Yes.
Didn't he take off someplace?
Yeah, this is it. This is the scripture. He's taking off to the temple.
Yeah, but where did he go? In 30 days, there are myths. He was gone for before then.
Oh.
And they said he was in India.
Mm.
And of course, the Buddha time. And that time. I'm learning this a little bit.
Great.
And the Greek and all that stuff. And they read up and they're like, whoa, what happened to Jesus? Jesus went where? And they think maybe he went to India. About Buddhists in time. And then he came back here and said, You guys, wake up! You know, don't be grumpy. We have to wake up people, you know, and be nice to people.
Absolutely.
And learn that we're all human, our whole world.
Yes, and you know, there's lots of speculations as to what that looked like. And I am not here to say one thing or the other.
I'm
with you. I think it's great to think about that. As a child, what we're reading here is him being 12 years of age. During the time, it was actually really a common myth. I'm sorry, what?
Did he be 12 or something?
Right, he was 12. Oh. So during this time, it was really popular in the ancient time to be able to take people who are of importance, including Buddha, and to write about them at the age of 12. This, in the Jewish law, was right before the age of 13, which is when somebody fully becomes Jewish. So this was right before this was happening. So there's some importance, some historical context of this going on. But we have this Jesus the Christ. And where I was going with this is that Jesus also, being fully human, had to grow in wisdom. If Jesus came out of the womb walking and speaking, right? We'd be a little, if you saw a child do that, would you not get a little bit, right? What would your response be? Yeah.
Chucky.
Yeah. Oh, no. Something is not right here. And so this understanding, I think this is a beautiful reminder that Jesus is also human.
Right.
Jesus has to grow in this wisdom and this learning. He goes to the temple. The temple is one of the most important places. We read about Jesus being at the temple time and time and time again. And I find myself questioning as I'm preparing for this week, as you are looking back on this year, how have you grown in wisdom?
Oh, boy.
You have no clue about that.
I haven't. You haven't?
Okay.
It's been a rough year.
It's been a rough year?
Yeah, I think.
Loss.
Loss?
Loss. Mm-hmm. Loss.
So wisdom in learning how to grieve and to be with those who grieve. It's very important. Often I find that we don't experience that. We don't learn that really until it is directly impacting our lives. Anybody else?
We've had a year of learning how to just rely on each other as a family. And because we've, you know, every job, every, you know, career has its peaks and valleys and everything. This year's been a year of down in the valley, you know, as we're trying to figure things out. We've learned how to, and it's been a year of growing in wisdom on it, as far as that goes. Like going through the hard times, you need to learn through those times so you can, once things get busy again, once things start moving in a different direction, you're prepared and you're grateful for it. You appreciate, you know, where you've headed, where you've come from. So this has been a year of, you know, ups and downs, but we've learned so much, you know, just, you know, Jennifer and I and the kids, you know, so it's been a struggle, but a lot of wisdom has come out of the struggle.
Yes, well said, John.
I'd offer that, as Trish mentioned, the loss, we lost my mother-in-law this year, and so that was quite an experience. Right? I was probably as close to her as her own boys were, to be honest. But
hi, Dave.
In growing with a wife, you know, dealing with the family and all that stuff. So there was a lot. I think there's some wisdom gained there. But I think even more so later in the year when I finally realized that I couldn't make myself an atheist, right? in all my introspection, if you will. So I believe there's a lot of wisdom gained in the last few months. Probably been a fast train for me, to be honest. It comes in many forms and shapes. And, you know.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I have a cough a little bit. I can feel the tickle coming on. Who else?
Put some poison there. No, I'm just kidding. What do you think about just right now? The world is changing so fast. Mm-hmm. Fast, and it will fast more again. That's what we're doing. It's all electrons. Electrons, it's just, Jesus is like electrons now.
It's not the same anymore.
May I ask, how about you? How have you grown in wisdom this year?
You just know what's been happening.
Oh, okay.
In our world, I worked on Hollywood.
Hmm.
And I understand a lot of stuff that's happening.
Oh, good. So you've grown in understanding.
I guess you might say that.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not. Right? The more we learn, the less we understand.
Yes.
Absolutely. Sure. Anybody else grow in love this year? Anybody else grow in understanding joy?
Well, that was the last thing I was going to say, and I forgot. When you talked last week about joy and happiness, you have no idea how much time I spent trying to reflect on what that really meant. So, and I feel a profound sense of joy this year that I haven't felt in a very, very long time.
Mm.
So I think that's probably the most gain in wisdom I've had, to be honest with you, thinking about the difference. I mean, it's happiness is being with your family and everything, but the true joy comes from above. How do you look at it, right?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Has anybody transitioned from feeling like you had to come to church to getting to come to church?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have. Right, so as we go into this new year, there's this kind of this understanding of, or these catchphrases of, new year, new me, right? It's time to set resolutions. It's time to look back on the year and reflect and to say, this year is going to be different. This is the things I'm going to do. And I have no problems with that. I say go for it. If you find ways in which you feel that your life will be better, fantastic. However, this morning, I would invite you to find a theme, a spiritual theme that you would like to grow in wisdom for the coming year. My learning is not done. It's far from being done. I hope yours isn't either. How many people have experienced someone who's very knowledgeable, but not necessarily wise? Right? How do you discern the difference? Hmm? It's okay, say it. It's probably what everybody else is thinking.
Smile and nod.
Smile and nod. Okay. I used to work in aviation when I was in the Navy. And I often compare it to flying a plane. There are so many people who I can tell you about different electrical circuits that go on in the plane. I can tell you about the plane. I can do all of that. And yet the thing I've never done is actually fly a plane. So many people in our communities and within ourselves, we value this idea of having knowledge. I think knowledge is incredibly powerful, but there's a transition that happens when it crosses over into wisdom. What is the difference, do you think, between knowledge into wisdom? What would you say?
Practice.
Practice. There's an experiential element that happens. So Sean, what I'm hearing you talk about, we've been in this struggle. There was an experience that happened, right? It wasn't just reading in the scriptures and saying, well, now I know about struggle. I've read the Psalms. So I've learned through King David. That's knowledge. But actually living through that struggle crosses into this hybrid of taking the knowledge and the experience and making it into wisdom. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
Yeah.
I see a face. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You're also an introvert, so I don't want to make you work.
I don't necessarily agree with that because you can have all the knowledge that you can gain, but just because you've been through something doesn't necessarily mean that you're wise afterwards, even though you have the knowledge. Because I think a lot of people, including myself at times, I think, can know about a certain thing and then go through something that relates to that, but then when you come out on the other end, you're not necessarily wise just because you went through it. Sometimes, if you're like me, you have to go through it over and over and over again until you finally gain the wisdom.
So thank you for that clarification, because yes, it does not necessarily take on the first time, is what I'm hearing you say, right? Like, there are many life choices in which someone can say, I know what I'm supposed to do. I've gone through this experience. Am I hearing you correctly? And that doesn't necessarily mean on the other end that you're wise about it. But would you be willing to say that you become wiser?
Yes.
That each time you go through that cycle, you gain more and more and more until somebody who is older says, I have been there, let me impart my wisdom on you.
Right?
Yes.
I think it's like breaking the chain. You keep doing that circle until you get it, and then once you get it, you break that chain, and then you move forward to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually kind of like abusive situations. If you think about it, if you're in an abusive situation in your family growing up, then you tend to be, people attract to you, you get married to somebody who's abusive. And so you can recognize that and do something, you may get to the next relationship and be abusive. And so you stop and go, I've got to break this chain and get out of this. Until you can break that chain, then your life starts again into a different, it's like you go into different, I think, levels, mm-hmm. you know, throughout your life.
Absolutely. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I think part of wisdom, part of beginning to develop wisdom, I think, is realizing that you can learn from these situations. Because a lot of people will go through situations and not realize that they can learn from it. But once you kind of change your mindset and go, okay, what can I learn from this? You're not going to learn everything right away, but once the situation arises again, you learn a little more and a little more. The start of wisdom is being open to that change, to adapting, to learning. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to open that door, but once you do, that's the thing. Just starting is wisdom. So you can say, yeah, I failed this time around, but I do have wisdom because I'm allowing myself to change and adapt. So next time we'll see how it goes. You know?
Right? Absolutely.
That's at least with me. Like, I'm not a construction guy. I'm trying to build this vocal booth. And this morning I had to tear it all down and redo it because I did it all wrong because I thought I knew how to do it yesterday. But, you know, I probably did more things wrong. You know, who knows? I mean, have to tear some things down again, but it's you know, if I just kept on going forward, I wouldn't learn. So, yeah. That's part of it is having the wisdom to adapt.
Well said.
Little by little, incrementally.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Sean.
What gets me is I'll be doing something the same way, time and maybe months, and all of a sudden, there's an easier way to do it. Why didn't I think of this 2 months ago?
Yeah.
That amazes me why it takes me so long to figure out a simple step.
Yeah. Luann, you just brought it right back to the scriptures this morning. Right? So we've been contemplating this idea of like, did Mary know? How did she not know? This is Jesus. Do you know what? We're on the end of that 2 months, right? If we look at Mary during this time, she knew something was different about her child, you know, but did she fully understand?
Mm-hmm. Could question her motherhood in the fact that when you go on a trip, don't you count your kids? There were 5 kids in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make sure everybody's together when you leave, that they're ready and you're going and you're all together. She did not do that.
But so let's look at the context.
But it could be, well, I thought so-and-so counted.
However, let's look at the context. You bring up a good point. The context is that they weren't just traveling as a nucleus family. They weren't just traveling Joseph, Mary, and their children. They were traveling, if you look, it's almost like a caravan. They went with their family, their friends, and their relatives. So it's this big group of individuals that were leaving. And it took them an entire day's journey to realize that Jesus wasn't with them. And then in addition, it took 3 days to be able to find Jesus. So it's not our modern day context where you get in the car and you go, oh, somebody's missing, right? This is a different context of understanding what family looked like and being parents. So I think you bring up a really good point. I just also want to give the most gracious assumption about Mary, if I may.
Yes.
Because I like to give, especially women, the most gracious assumption as I can in the scriptures. So, Mary, this mother, what does she say to him when she finally sees him? It's an in verse 48. What does she say?
Child, why have you treated us like this?
Right? Who's been there as a parent? Right? So very human. So very human. Look, your father and I have been searching with you for you with great anxiety. So Mary also had to grow in wisdom. She had to grow in understanding who this Christ child was, who at the time was Jesus. This is her son. There's something interesting and something different about her son, but I don't think yet she fully understands what her son will go on to do in this world. She's his mother, causing great anxiety. And I wonder if she said it just like that. Can you imagine? Like, it's very polished.
Did they use expletives there?
Right. And then what does he go on to say to her? It's in verse 49.
Why are you searching for me?
Right. Has anybody had that response with their child?
Yes.
Right? Mom, Dad, you should have known better. Like, why were you so filled with anxiety? I compare this to a child who has a curfew or a teenager that has a curfew, right? They're half hour late, show up, and the parents are just riddled with anxiety. I know I did this to my parents just a couple of times. You know, and I'd show up and they'd say, we were so worried about you. We told you to be home at this time. Why are you up? I'm fine. It just took us a little bit longer to get home. Right? Jesus is so very human and so very divine. That is the beauty of the complexity of these scriptures. As we unpack them, as they come alive to us, to understand. Because when we fully understand that Jesus was fully human, which I love the song today that Lucia recommended, because it just exemplified these multiple reasons as to why Jesus is human. He was a child that grew up. We come to understand that as we're preparing for Easter, the sacrifice that he gave, the place in which he chose to be for us, becomes relatable to us in a new way. If he was absolutely divine and knew all of this, that doesn't resonate for me as much as to hear that he's human and was scared and did it anyway, and had anger and did it anyway. So these stories are placed here to say that this was a child that was unlike anybody else, who was new. He was studying the Levitical law at the age of 12, and they were mesmerized, they say, by his questions and also by his answers, which I think is so very important as we walk as Christians, as we grow in our wisdom, that we take the time to not just give all the answers, but to take the time to question and to listen to others. Christ gives us this example as he's in the temple. But then to continue to grow. He continues to grow. We need to continue to grow. Now, I am not going to be up here telling you how to grow. That is for you to come to terms with God in prayer and taking time to be here in church as you walk your own path. But as 2019 is coming upon us, and there will be experiences that you can't predict happening yet. But I'm wondering if there's an area in which you feel called to grow, to get curious about within yourself, within any form of this Christian walk within your life. What does that look like? Do you need to grow in love and understanding? Do you need to grow an understanding of what it means to have humility? Does it grow to understand Christ, to understand God, to offer more spiritual practices within your own life? Are you feeling so full of anxiety and at a pace that it seems so unmanageable to keep up that you take time to have mindfulness, like in the Buddhist tradition? Where is it for you particularly that you need to continue to grow? Because if you've stopped growing, we're we're no longer following the path of Christ. So I invite you, as you leave these four walls, to just consider, where is it that I need to grow? Because we have the example of a 12-year-old boy who's still growing. And I don't know about you, but as I was preparing for today, I kept thinking about Jacob. Right? And what a blessing has it been to hear Jacob's questions as we've been here in church and as a congregation. And how old is Jacob?
He's 11.
He's 11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get to see this come alive in our own congregation. Mm. I thank you for this morning, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 To contact the Menifee United Church of Christ, or for more information, go to menifeeucc.org. Thank you for listening.